All right. Any guesses where we're going next?
The Bible.
The Bible.
New Testament.
No. No smart answers, Weston. But this morning we're going to embark on a new series in the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles.
That's right.
We are going to take it chapter by chapter, so it's not going to be real short, but it won't be too long either. When we start a new series, I usually like to do to take the first study and do an introduction or a preview to where we're headed so that we can be thinking week to week about the overarching devotional ideas that we're looking for. 2 Chronicles is a very interesting book because on one hand, a lot of the stories we're more or less familiar with. We're certainly familiar with a lot of the characters. 1 and 2 Chronicles, which are just one long book in the Jewish Bible, overlap with 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings in a number of ways. A lot of it is a retelling of historical events that have already been told before. But what's great about this book is that it really isn't a rerun. As you read it, it's not just recycled. As you read the stories, you see that the writer, believed to be Ezra by Jewish and church history, had a really great focus and a great purpose in mind. And that's what we want to discover in our studies. I'm going to title the series The Great Reformation, and hopefully the devotional ideas we pull out each week will illustrate the fact that 2 Chronicles is a very religious book. And I mean that in a good way. I mean it in the biblical way. Obviously, you use the word religion or religious, and that's a loaded word these days. There's a viral video on YouTube going around right now called Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus. It has almost 14 million views. Obviously, it is a hot topic and an interesting issue to discuss. We understand religion isn't what we're about. It wasn't what Jesus was about in the sense of rituals and rites and works to make one deserving of salvation. Of course, we understand that. But there is a proper religion, even in the Bible. This is from James 1, verse 27. He says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." And so, of course, we agree with those who would point out with the apostles that self-imposed religiosity or self-imposed religion, you know, is useless and in contradiction to the work of Christ. But religion, in the pure sense and in the vocabulary sense, the biblical sense, that's not a bad thing. That's a little rabbit trail there, but I'll say that because we'll find that 2 Chronicles is a very religious book. And even though it's a history book, the whole thing is skewed towards worship and righteousness and revival. That's really what the book is about. And as you page through it and even just look at the passage headings, I think you'd be surprised to see that, okay, this is a history text about an empire. And yet all of the, you know, passage headings and chapter headings you find are all about religious things. They're all about godly things. They're all about revival. You would expect to see, you know, more politics and more battles and more things like that. But instead, there are themes about the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord again and again and again. The word of the Lord. Themes about the Lord. In fact, even though 2 Chronicles covers 450 years of Jewish imperial history, the first nine chapters, the first entire quarter of the book, are just about the temple being planned and constructed and furnished and dedicated under Solomon. So it's just an interesting thing. You have this book that says, hey, we're going to retell 450 years of history here, the imperial history, and we're going to take the first whole quarter and talk about one building being built, nine chapters of it. Then after that, it brings us the rest of those 450 years after the nation of Israel divided and split into two. And every time it tells us something, the story is always centered around periods of revival in Judah. And that's a very interesting thing. As the nation was being physically reformed, Israel split into Israel in the north, 10 tribes, Judah in the south, 2 tribes, we discover different men being highlighted in the text who brought about spiritual reformation. Or more plainly, they were men who brought about repentance into the kingdom of Judah, and then they started building up a godly kingdom again. So it feels in that sense a little bit like Judges, where you see cycles of revival, cycles of repentance, and cycles of building up godliness again. But what we see highlighted is men who sat on the throne and turned their hearts toward God and guided the kingdom back to the place of worship, back to the place of righteousness. And revivals happen again and again in this book. That's the focus of the narrative. That's the focus of Ezra's story here. And what's great is that even though the scope of this book is very big, 450 years, the succession of kings, the Davidic dynasty, the building of Solomon's temple and wars and all of that's in there. But the real key to the book is individual men. That's what the book, really zooms in on, individual guys. And it's simply a book that's about what kind of men were ruling in Judah and how they changed history. It's a book about how a few guys reformed their lives and their nation depending on their interaction with God. The first verse of the book says a lot. Let me read it to you. Second Chronicles 1:1, says, "Now Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and exalted him exceedingly." That's really what this book is about, sort of thematically. That verse in the New Living Translation, I think, makes our theme stand out a little bit more clearly. Let me read it for you. It says, "Solomon, son of David, took firm control of his kingdom, for the Lord his God was with him and made him very powerful." And so that idea, that scenario, that's the setup for everything we're going to see. Men interacting with the Lord and then the impact it had on their kingdom. And so I'm hoping that this series will help us see what kind of men we are, what kind of life we're forming or reforming right now. We're men who've been given some sort of little kingdom from the Lord. In the New Testament, we more often see terms like our mission field, our lot in life, that area of responsibility and opportunity that God has given to each of us. And the question for us is, have I taken firm control of what God has given me to do? I certainly don't want us to start thinking that we're kings, and think, this is a book about kings, and so I should go around acting like a king. The King of Kings showed us that we as his people are to be servants of all, taking the lowest position. We know that. But these men in 2 Chronicles are our example, and so the question will be, what kind of life am I forming? Am I like Solomon, who is constructing and something magnificent for the Lord? Am I like Ahaz, who closed down the temple at one point? Or am I like Hezekiah, who saw something that wasn't right and decided to reopen the temple and repair God's house? Am I allowing God to do his great reformation in my heart and in my life? Those are the kinds of themes that we see highlighted in these chapters, and those are the kinds of questions we're going to apply to our own lives as we get to them each week. The word Chronicles has a very historical feel to me. I don't know about you, but when I see that word, it makes me think of volumes of encyclopedias on a shelf somewhere. Sort of a very sterile academic, cataloging of things that have happened. But the original Hebrew name for this book, as I said, it's the two books we have are just one book for the Hebrews. But the actual Hebrew name for these books comes out as The Words Concerning the Days. I love that. That's a really great title. That's it. And then after that title, it starts this long record of God's house and the people's hearts. The book starts with the building of God's house, and the last chapter ends with a decree to build it again after it had been destroyed. And all along the way, the house of the Lord is mentioned almost 150 times in this book. And as it is built and furnished and dedicated and opened and closed and opened again and repaired and revived, the house of the Lord is really a central character in the book alongside Hezekiah, alongside Solomon, and alongside all of these other kings. And then we remember, of course, what Paul said of us in 1 Corinthians 3:16. He says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And so devotionally, putting two and two together, seeing all the stuff about the house of the Lord in 2 Chronicles, seeing these different men given as examples to us, we should come to 2 Chronicles and think, wow, this right here is a handbook for revival in the life of a believer. This shows me how to center life around Christ. This shows me the kind of great reformation that God wants to do in my life, bringing me from darkness to light, transforming me from a person who has only worldly wisdom into someone who has eternal wisdom and is able to impact a kingdom for all of eternity. And that's why this book has so much potential. Because no matter what was going on historically, it all comes back to how these different men interacted with God. And a lot goes on in these chapters. It's not a boring book by any means. There are invasions and wars and stresses and problems. At one point, the single largest enemy force ever recorded in scriptures comes against Judah in chapter 14. An Ethiopian army comes against God's people. That's at 1 million soldiers strong. 1 million soldiers come and fight against Judah. But when we see that all set up, we see that it all comes back to God's word, his personal revival, and God reforming a nation to follow him. That's the focus. And so I am the temple of the Lord. I've been given a freedom to administrate some little kingdom, some mission field, some little coin that the master has placed in my hands. He's entrusted it to me as a responsibility and an opportunity. And this book right here, 2 Chronicles, shows me how to be constructing, how to be reviving, so that God's power can have firm control over my life, and his great reformation can continue in my heart. So that's where we're headed for next week. Read chapter 1, where we see our first king, how the Lord interacted with him, the man who spoke to God, and the Lord let him ask anything of him. It's going to be a good chapter. So read 2 Chronicles chapter 1, and then we'll get into it next week. Amen?
Amen.
All right.